father was teaching his little boy to hit a ball with the bat. And the father would toss the ball up there towards his son, right where he could hit it, and he would swing and miss. And his daddy would say to him, "Now, son, look at the ball when I throw it to you." And he would swing and miss. And then his daddy realized he's not looking at the ball. He's looking at me. And so he said, "Now, I want you to look at the ball. Don't look at me." And he continued to look at his daddy and swing and miss. And his daddy would give the same instruction. Finally, the little boy scrunched the muscles of his forehead and cheekbones together so that his eyes were shut as tight as could be and said, "Okay, Daddy, throw the ball. I'm not going to look at you this time." He didn't get the message, did he? But that's so often the way that we are. That's so often the way that God's people have been, or those in the church have been. They have looked without seeing what they ought to see. And then their eyes are closed so that they don't see what they ought to see. We could say, as the sermon title says, their eyes are wide shut. Now, I've been informed that this is the title of an R-rated movie. I do not know that movie at all, so any comparison between the two, any similarity between the two is only coincidental. I can only speculate on what such a movie would be about, and I don't intend to do that. But here we have people looking, and looking for the wrong thing. And then they don't look at all. The Apostle Paul was dealing with the Jews, and he had been told to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but he didn't ignore the Jews. He continued to take the gospel to the Jews until they would reject him. And then he would say, "Okay, you have had this opportunity, and it's been a wonderful opportunity. But you've been looking without really understanding." Actually, he spoke of both their eyes and their ears, because that's what Isaiah spoke about, and that's what Jesus spoke about as he quoted Isaiah, and now that's what Paul speaks about as he also quotes Isaiah regarding the way that people have rejected the gospel. People who ought to have known better, people who have been in the assembly of God's people and have had the word of God proclaimed to them many times. And yet they have not understood. You see, there are some times that we think that we understand what the gospel is. In fact, it doesn't happen merely with the gospel. It happens in other situations too, doesn't it? Where you talk to somebody and you spell out for them exactly how things are to be done. And then you ask, "Do you understand?" And they say, "Yes, yes, I understand." And then you find out the work has not been done as you expected it to be done. Do you really understand the gospel? Are your eyes and ears open to see and to hear, so that your hearts would be affected as they ought to be affected? The Apostle Paul in Rome had called together some of the leaders of the Jews, and many of them came, and Paul gave a defense as to what had happened in regard to his life, as to why it was he had been arrested by the Jews in Jerusalem, why it was that he finally appealed to Caesar and therefore was sent to Rome. On the way, they had the shipwreck. Finally, Paul finds his way to Rome and is through this whole experience has built up such a good rapport with the centurion that instead of being housed in the barracks under lockdown, instead he has a single soldier chained to him in a place where he can have others come to see him. And so it is that some of the Jewish leaders have come to see him as he has requested. Probably Luke and Aristarchus, who traveled with him, have gone to some of the synagogues and asked the Jewish leaders to come. And they came and said, no, we hadn't heard anything from Jerusalem. The only thing that we have heard about this gospel that you're talking about is that it's spoken against everywhere, all over the world. But we're willing to listen to what you have to say. And so even more came the next time. And they came together that they might hear Paul proclaim the word of God to them. And in Acts chapter 28, we're coming to the end of this account finally. Not quite there, but almost. We have here the Apostle Paul addressing this second group as we begin with verse 23, and we'll read on through verse 28 of Acts chapter 28. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said to Isaiah, through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and I would turn and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of His holy word. The message that we read earlier in Isaiah chapter 6, the message that was given to Isaiah as to what kind of a ministry he would have, is the very same message that Jesus gives then to his disciples as he says to them, here's why I speak in parables. We find this in Matthew chapter 13. As he has given the parable of the sower, and then the disciples asked him privately, why do you speak to them in parables? Can you explain this parable to us? And he said, well, it's for you to understand, but they will not understand. And then he recited what Paul recites right here in regard to the unwillingness of the people to hear and to perceive, to really understand. What a discouraging message that must have been for Isaiah. As Jim has already noted, you will be ever hearing, never understanding. Ever seeing, never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Remember, Paul has been speaking to them all day from morning until evening. What stamina he has when he gets on this, his favorite subject. He won't stop as long as there are people who are ready to listen. What a delight it must have been for him to see this crowd, even though some of them were unbelieving. But remember, as we noted a week ago, he was there explaining to them the gospel. He was testifying to the truth and persuading them that this is true, that the gospel is true. Well, as we have read of the error that would be the case in Isaiah's day, and the same that would be true in Jesus' day, and now would be true again in Paul's day, that's something that we must be careful to avoid, that same error. Don't repeat the mistake that many have made before you, because you see, this is really true today, even as it was then. We have come through the book of Acts over the past few years, looking at this marvelous book of the work of the Holy Spirit through the apostles as they have taken the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. So that as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, Rome, the center of the world, is really the ends of the earth. Because that's where he ends up with the gospel. There they were without the gospel. There they were rejecting the Lord God. And God has sent the gospel to them even before Paul had arrived there. There were already Christians in Rome at that time. But now Paul is directing his message particularly to the Jews in the synagogues first, so that they would hear and understand the gospel. Their error, of course, was in hearing and seeing, but not understanding. Their error was in hearing and seeing, but not understanding. These were people who had studied the scriptures. No doubt many of them had memorized the Old Testament. We often complain about having to memorize a few verses, or being asked to memorize a chapter. These were people who knew the Old Testament well. In fact, they had memorized much of it. But they came with their own preconceived notions. Remember what Jesus said about the synagogues in his day? Listen to them when they speak to you from the law of Moses, because that's true, that's right. But don't follow their activity, because they have come to apply it in a very wrong way. And so they were getting an understanding of the scriptures that was not proper. Remember how the Jews had added law upon law upon law, making the law to be a burden to the people. Not taking the law of Moses and dealing with it and showing them the sacrifices and how that was to point them to the Messiah and how they would come to have the forgiveness of sins through the Messiah. That wasn't what they were looking at. They were looking at a salvation by their own works, by doing these particular things that they were supposed to do. And some of you have heard me speak of neighbors in our area who are Jews and who will not do certain things on Saturday, and how careful they are to avoid those things because they think they're going to have their salvation in that way. They'll ask me to do them because they figure that I'm already lost. But they will not do them themselves. You see, this very same thing can happen to you today, even as it did in the days of Isaiah, and in the days of Jesus, and in the ministry of Paul. It is possible to learn a lot without really knowing or understanding. Beware then of the preconceived notions that you bring to the scriptures. You have them, whether you realize it or not. Because remember, Satan is a deceiver and he will do anything he can to keep you from understanding the scriptures properly. So then, in order that you might be clear on the message of the gospel and hold to it, seek the Lord your God seek to understand by His Spirit. Know that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who was proclaimed long ago, the one who fulfills the law of Moses, the one who is our sacrifice. And yes, we do need a sacrifice. We do need that high priest that is Jesus Christ. Because for us to barge into the presence of God on our own would be to enter into certain destruction. We need that high priest, that one who brings us to the Father. And that's who Jesus is. He has done what the high priest in the Old Testament could only picture and could not accomplish on his own. And so now he calls for your full devotion to him, that you would be totally his child, his servant, walking in his way. Be careful then that you do not repeat the mistake of many before you. Those who have come to the Word of God and have not received it faithfully. As we read in our passage here, Isaiah was told that they would be hearing but not understanding, seeing but not perceiving. And here's the reason then. Verse 27, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." You see, what he's saying here is that if your heart is calloused, you will barely hear. In fact, you'll even close your eyes to the truth. Callousness, of course, indicates an insensitivity, where you build up a callus, whether it's on your hands or your feet or whatever, you don't have that same sensitivity that you used to have. I remember hearing a fellow tell about, he's not a young man anymore, but he told about growing up in Topeka, Kansas, and how in the spring he would run outside barefoot on their cinder driveway in order to toughen up his feet for the summer. So they wouldn't have that sensitivity to them. It'd build up the calluses. Okay, that's what's taking place here. It is a thickening of the heart, if you will. A hardening of the heart. That's the term that we find used so often in Scripture. And it's used particularly, isn't it, of Pharaoh. How Pharaoh hardened his heart. What did he harden his heart about? Well, here were things that God was doing, miraculous things. Now, for a little bit, for a few of those plagues, his magicians were able to reenact them with their magic arts, not as a miraculous thing from God. But then about the fourth plague, the magicians say to Pharaoh, "We can't reduplicate this one. We can't duplicate this one. It's the hand of God." And what we read then was that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Meaning that, okay, so you say that you can't do this like Moses did it. And you say it's the hand of God that has done this. But I still won't believe God. I still will fight against God because I want to keep you Israelites here and I want you to keep making bricks for me. It would have been bad for the economy for him to lose the Israelites, and he didn't want to lose them. Not even for a couple of days to go out into the desert to sacrifice to the Lord. This is a heart, then, that is thickened, that is unable where the Spirit of God does not penetrate. It is resistant to the Spirit of God. Now, we believe that God's grace is able to penetrate any heart. We understand that. Nevertheless, here is a resistance to the heart, an unwillingness to listen, an unwillingness to do what God intends. Your heart is, of course, your personality, your mind, your will, and the eyes and the ears are the doors to the heart. You take in the message by hearing it today and by reading it in the Word of God. What are you feeding in through your ears and eyes? Is it the truth that is the Word of God? Or have you closed your eyes and ears to the Word of God? You see, this callousness, even though you might see callousness on your hands or feet or some other part, then nevertheless, it's something that you don't realize is being built up. You don't sit there and measure, okay, today I have this much callousness, and tomorrow I'll have this much more, or anything like that. And so it is that the heart slowly builds that callousness against the truth. Are you careful then to keep the eyes and ears open? So that that pathway to the heart would be kept clear and you would be given understanding. Take care to remove distractions that would keep you from understanding. Sometimes there are physical distractions to the worship of God. Some of us can remember a time when there was a skill saw being run next door during the worship service. And so it was hard for people to listen. There was a distraction there. Sometimes there's a child that people begin to look at and to wave at him and to make faces or do all sorts of things. And so it's a distraction that keeps you from hearing the Word of God. Remember, God has called you here today, not so much to be in this building, but to be in the heavenly sanctuary. That's where we are right now. We are in the presence of God, hearing His Word, worshiping Him, exalting His name. But there are more than just the physical distractions. There are spiritual distractions too. Sometimes we come to the Word of God with arrogance, not really recognizing that pride. But thinking, well, I know what this says. I know what this is all about. But I'm reminded of the young man who said, I thought I was an expert on the book of Revelation until I met somebody who had read it. That's what we end up with. Well, I've heard, and I've got my own opinion formed, and so I'm going to hold to my opinion. Don't distract me with the facts. Sometimes there are distractions of events from the past week or things that are about to happen that can really turn you away from listening to the Word of God. Certainly, some of you can think of some events during the past week that have been very distracting to you. Others are looking forward to things this week. And perhaps it's hard to keep your mind on the Word of God just because of that. And that's why it's necessary for us to come together to remove distractions. That's why at the beginning of our service, we take that time for silent prayer so that we might focus upon God and ask Him to remove stumbling blocks that would keep us from hearing Him and understanding His Word. Because unless those things are removed, the heart becomes even more calloused and unable to hear what God the Lord will say. Well, when you repeat the mistake of those before you, then God says the result is a calloused heart. But He also says there's something you miss when that happens. And that is the divine healing that He gives. His healing grace. Don't miss God's healing grace. That's the last thing we want to note here when He says, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Isn't that healing what we long for? Isn't that what you long for as an individual, as a family, as a church, and even as a nation? Or perhaps as in other nations as well. Because unless we are hearing the Word of God, which is to go to not only to us as individuals, but to the nations, unless we hear the Word of God and recognize the authority of Jesus Christ as King, then we will not have this healing of which He speaks. You see, it takes grace from God to hear and understand the gospel. And so that's why so often, particularly in the book of 2 Chronicles, but in other books as well, we find Him challenging the people to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and turn to the Lord. Because He says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. Some of you, many of you, I would hope, do understand the gospel rightly. Nevertheless, even for you, and so this goes for every one of us here, I would challenge you to seek God's face, pleading for mercy, that you would understand the gospel, and that you would understand it thoroughly, that you would understand His Word clearly. Because the day of grace will come to an end. The opportunity to receive grace will no longer be available. When will that come? I don't know. And you don't know. And that means it's necessary to be ready now. To be seeking Him now in order that you might receive the grace that He gives. Now, it takes effort to hear and understand the gospel. I know you're just sitting there and listening to me, but there's effort that goes into that. Effort to stay awake on a beautiful sunny morning. Effort to really hear what's being said in the Word of God. Effort to really understand it. And effort to take it to heart. Be careful to hear what God says. Not what you think He says, but what He actually says. Because there are many times that people think that they understand what the Scriptures say. And so they begin to assume what the Scriptures say and end up not understanding them rightly. Not too long ago in our Tuesday evening Bible study, there was a question that was asked, and the response indicated that the people weren't really reading the Scriptures as it was there on the page. They expected something different to be there. And it wasn't there quite in that way. It took an effort to look and say, oh, it's the other way around. It takes effort to hear and understand the gospel. But that's why God has given you a mind and challenge you to develop your mind so that you hear and understand the gospel using your mind, that you might, once again, use the eyes and the ears in order to receive the message and let it penetrate your heart. So then, receive God's healing grace through faith. Receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in the sense that, okay, I have no idea what's going on, but I believe it. But rather, here's the reality in which we trust. So that we're confident that what God has said is true. The removal of this callus is necessary. Sometimes a removal of a callus from your hand or foot can be painful. And yet, it's necessary at times. And so it is that the removal of sin from the heart can be painful. But in order to receive divine healing, to receive that healing grace, it's necessary. And it's worth it. It's worth it for all eternity. The grace that opens ears and penetrates hearts is the grace that heals souls. So you see the progression here. Closed eyes and ears lead to calloused hearts, which means there is no grace. No enjoyment of God. No delight in Him. No exalting of God. But when the Word of God comes through those opened eyes by the Spirit of God and opened ears by the Spirit of God to penetrate the heart, to bring understanding, then there is healing. Then there is joy. Then there is blessing. And blessing for all eternity. Don't assume that your eyes and ears are always open, as they should be. But instead, seek Him and His grace. Because His Word is being received by those to whom it had not been given. This nation has received the Word of God in its history to a great degree. I fear that we're seeing a loss of that, and that it's going to other continents where we see the Spirit of God working in mighty ways, particularly in Africa right now. And even in communist China, we see the Word of God going with power. And that's what Paul said. I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. You may not listen. The day of opportunity, the day of grace will be taken away, but it will be given to others. And so I would plead with you now to take that opportunity that God gives you. In Psalm 18, we sing of that opportunity being given to others, the very thing of which Paul has just spoken. And we're going to be using 18 selection F. A people I knew not will serve, and when they hear me, will obey. Who are they? The sons of strangers. They, in their fear, come. They abandon their former strongholds to find their strength in the Lord. Here is what will happen to those who reject the word of God, it will be taken away from them and given to others. And so we are called here to give thanks.